sports on Northumberland Street for the National Council of Jewish Women. This is Howard Braun and Marcy Schwartz on September 1992. Dr. Schwartz, would you please say something?
Yeah, I'd like to just check it by counting 1, 2, 3, 4 to see what comes out.
Okay, I didn't. Dr. Schwartz, we're going to ask you about a whole lot of open-ended questions. You can handle the matter any way you like. Just go on and respond however you like. Just do the best you can with the questions and answers. We're basically going to ask you first about your immediate family. Where'd you come from? What'd you do? Who were you? Who are you?
Both irrelevant questions.
We wouldn't be.
Have you already put that question, or you want to put it for me?
I've given you the question.
Uh-huh. My name is Leonard Schwartz. I'm in my 68th year. I'm an ex-physician, psychiatrist, psychoanalyst type. Born and raised here in Pittsburgh, and educated here also. Matter of fact, I only applied to one medical school, and that was the University of Pittsburgh. So I'm very lucky to have caught on, so to speak, in that profession. I'm an only child. My mother and father were born also in Pittsburgh. My daddy in 1897. '61, and my mother, also born here in the Hill District, with her six brothers and sisters. She was born in 1904 and died in 1969.
1969?
Yeah. I'm married to Mildred Schwartz, formerly Mildred Bernstein, also born and raised in Pittsburgh, of European-born parents. We've been married 46 years. And have two daughters. One thirty-six and one thirty-nine, and four grandchildren. One little girl and three little boys, and the oldest being 10 at this moment. Something about my work life?
No. Not yet.
Not yet. I grew up on the hill, Lower Hill District, and didn't leave until I went into the service in WW2. I was a CB and spent nearly 3 years in the Pacific Theater, almost all of it on an island in the Mariana group called Saipan, where famous battles were fought between the Second Marines and the Japanese. And I was a stevedore, went out doing other things, and helped to unload a couple of million tons of ammunition and other sorts of cargo during my stay there.
Any siblings?
Zero. I'm an only child.
Yeah, I think you said that.
Yep. Which has accounted for, I think, some of the arcane qualities of my personality. My analyst said so, so it must be true.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that your parents were both born here, your mother of European parentage. What country of origin is there?
No, Millie's mother and dad.
Millie's mother and dad.
Millie's mother was born in Russia, and her daddy in Russia also.
Do you have any ancestral nation on the other side, or it's all forgotten?
Well, my daddy was a hunky.
Hungarian? Mm-hmm. You speak it?
Did he?
Did you? Did he?
No, nobody. Mm-hmm. And on my mother's side, I think they were from Romania, which is supposed to be a bad thing to be. But not, my mother spoke excellent Yiddish, and my father didn't. His family lived in the strip district, where they had a butcher shop. And my mother had five sisters and two brothers. Mm-hmm. Six.
You may have to talk up a little bit more.
Fine.
I'd like to hear a little bit of your early school days, where you went to elementary and high school, and some teachers, if you recall, any some where you were there any influences that you remember, or did you go to any religious school? Were you bar mitzvah?
Yes.
Where?
I get it.
That period.
I had a bizarre elementary school life in that. I went to three schools twice, and we moved on an average of once every couple of years, sometimes oftener, under adverse circumstances most of the time, because my father was an insurance man. He was an insurance agent, and he covered what they called a debit, and sold inexpensive insurance to poor people. And didn't make much money. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, rents became too much for us, which was not an uncommon circumstance in that neck of the woods.
I know the trade.
Yeah. I liked school and was good at it from the very first, and was recognized as a bright kid. My folks paid relatively little attention to that aspect of my life in terms of worrying about my doing my homework, things of that. So I never heard, probably once in my life, that the question, have you done your homework? My report cards were looked at briefly and dismissed. They knew what the story would be, and they never had to worry. I was a good kid, not much problem for them, even though only children had reputations in that direction for some reason. Most of the only children I know are really good people. Almost all the astronauts are only children. Did you know that?
No, but that's an interesting point.
They are highly competitive. My analyst once said, and I think it was true, that when you have no siblings, the whole world turns out to be your sibling, and you're competitive with everyone. So I went to McKelvey School, and I went to Minersville School, and I went to Miller School, and I went to each of them twice.
Kelly?
McKelvey.
McKelvey?
McKelvey, up on Bedford Avenue, down the hill. Yeah. And I think all these structures are gone, long gone. Miller School was on Miller Street, down the lower hill, and Minersville was out on Center Avenue. Minersville. So I made these. We moved so much that a couple of the doubles. You know what doubles were? You would skip a grade. I didn't get them because we moved at the same time I was getting the double. It didn't keep me in the same grade, but I still ended up graduating early from everything, mm-hmm. and started at the University of Pittsburgh.
What year?
I started when I graduated Shenley High School in 1943 and went into the service and resumed in 1946 mm-hmm. at Pitt. Is that right? I graduated Pitt in 48 and entered Pitt's medical school in 48 and graduated Pitt's medical school in 52, 4 years later. Mm-hmm. And you need more of that early stuff?
52. Well, what did you have any religious education?
That's right. Yeah, I did. And I got it only because I insisted upon it. My parents didn't care whether I was bar mitzvah or not, frankly. My father was a-religious, you could say. My mother also. And I saw a bar mitzvah as a nifty way of getting a whole slew of gifts that I saw everybody else getting. So that was my prime motive in insisting upon becoming a Hebrew scholar. And I went to the Hebrew Institute right across from the Wiley Avenue branch of the Carnegie Library, and enjoyed that. I think I went for a few months before my bar mitzvah, and we hired Rabbi Finkelstein, who lived across the street on Wiley Avenue, to teach me what do you call it? Elf Torah, whatever.
Yeah, you remember it right.
Yeah, and he was a very nice man with a long white beard. And my bar mitzvah was itself a very successful performance, I thought at the time. Because I liked to sing, and I have always been musical.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents take any pleasure in that? In light of what you said,
my parents, I think, took a lot of pleasure in a lot of the things that I did without making those pleasures vocal. My father was the only Jewish daddy in the black Jewish ghetto in which we lived, who would in the summertime play baseball with me almost every night. The rest were all foreign-born daddies, you know, and my dad was a ball player himself when he was a kid, and that was very different. My father happened to be an alcoholic, which was also unusual for Jewish men at that time in that neighborhood. So we look forward to a man coming home pretty sauced almost every night for many years. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to have been an important part of what you might call my motivation, you know, to learn things and to be special, you know, to get into strange territories when it comes to human behavior, human performance, whatever.
Did you by any chance know Isidore Abrams of the Hebrew Institute?
I knew the old man and
the
young
man.
I knew
him
both.
I'm only asking about the old one.
Yeah, I briefly saw him around. He was.
You didn't have any.
No. His son was the real tall guy.
His son was the tall one.
Yeah.
His son was Saul.
Yes. I didn't remember that. You know,
okay. I'm asking you for any comment if you have any.
He was just somebody who would show up in our classroom every once in a while and ask how things are going.
Fine.
I never had any trouble with him, and he never had any trouble with me.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Rabbi Finkelstein. Are there any other names that you recall of that era?
You have to. Is that your mama? You have to remember that despite this exercise in religion, it wasn't my bar mitzvah, I never attended synagogue. I never used tefillin. I never did any of the proper rituals associated with religious life after my bar mitzvah was over. Always been very Jewish.
Where were you bar mitzvah?
At the Hebrew Institute. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You say you were always very Jewish.
I always felt myself, you know, okay. The holidays and the various goings-on around those times of the year included me. I always felt part of that because it was that ethnic thing was central in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But I was specifically I was more ethnically a Jew than I was with respect to religious issues.
Okay, did you educate your children Jewishly in any way?
Started to. We had Debbie and Jody went to Sunday school. Also, with Mr. Abrams was up here on Forbes, and in fact, Debbie was somebody in a Purim play before they both sort of gave notice that they were going to quit.
They both quit.
They both did. I must say that my eldest grandchild, Jeremy, whose last name is Bailey, goes to the Hebrew Institute. to the shul down here on Fifth Avenue, the Rosh Hashanah, for Sunday school and stuff. And is also learning some Hebrew, which he enjoys immensely.
Mm-hmm. How about the others?
The others go too, but it doesn't look like that's gonna survive long for one reason or another. Charlie, bring your baby. Look, see, I know you feel you're being left out of this, but you are. It's not your day.
I take it the children marry. Mixed or
one,
I gathered that.
Yes, Keith Bailey is my son-in-law, and obviously not Jewish, but very Jewish in the sense that he has adopted a lot of the ethnic things, it seems to work out very well.
Yeah, well, he's got one kid in religious school.
Yeah. I think the linguistic part of that will probably survive more than I don't know whether Jeremy will ever be bar mitzvah or not.
Uh-huh.
It's not clear to me now.
Mm-hmm. That's Jeremy?
That's Jeremy, yeah. Jeremy David.
Jeremy David?
Yeah, David was Millie's, my wife's father's name. He's a super pitcher, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like you to say anything you want about Pittsburgh. Life in the city as you see it, the entertainment, the politics, the relations. What's Pittsburgh to you?
Pittsburgh is a very nice city. I've traveled, especially in the last few years, extensively around the country, around the world. And I have not found many places where I would prefer to live. The one exception to that is a place where I do live officially, and that's in West Palm Beach. We spend our winters. Usually, I do another book while I'm down there. Charlie, stop! Come on. you're not behaving.
When did you start that West Palm Beach stuff?
About 13 years ago. We own property there for 13 years. You know, Charlie, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Jump.
Tell me more about Pittsburgh. Were you involved with anything in Pittsburgh?
I'm not a person that gets involved in what do you call those things? I'm not on committees. Since I don't belong to organizations generally, except professional ones. I belong to a number of those. But I am pretty much a loner. During my years of practice, which went from 1956 to about 1986, those 30 years. I should say that I might fit in here somewhere that after I graduated medical school, I interned at Montefiore Hospital, which was then at least the Jewish hospital, and then had my residency in psychiatry at Western Psychiatric from 1953 to 1956, and then joined the Pittsburgh Psychoanalytic Institute and was a student there until 1968. Pittsburgh, I thought it'd be a place that I really feel is home. And I think I enjoyed the city progressively more over the years from the time it was a kind of recognized physically dirty city to a park-like place that I consider it now. That's been a big transition. All of my relatives, we're not a family spread out. My aunts and uncles, lived in the city. So we're a Pittsburgh family.
Mm-hmm. Are any of them Jewish?
Who?
Any of them, in the sense that
they're all Jewish.
I understood that. Yeah, participating Jewish, or were they the same as your family? Just ethnically so.
Yes, pretty much. I don't know any who belonged to a synagogue.
None belonged to a synagogue.
I don't think. But I don't want that to sound as though, again,
not negative.
No, I don't. It's not. It's absolutely not negative. But I don't want it to sound as though the sense of being Jewish hasn't been great importance to me. Mm-hmm.
Tell me how.
Well, most of my friends are about as important, perhaps in some ways more important to me than anything but the nuclear family. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get beyond the nuclear family, friendships, which are elective and not obligatory, have been the way I go, and most of those end up as Jewish friends, although hardly exclusively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You still haven't said much about Pittsburgh specifically.
Where did you go?
Did you go to any like concerts or what? What have been your associations?
Ballpark more than anything.
Okay,
else.
Just tell me that.
I went the other night, as a matter of fact, to hear Susan Sontag. Everybody around me, I keep complaining because of my kids and my wife want me to go to theater concerts and all that stuff. I prefer to be the player than to be the listener. I've always been a participant. That was true of sports. that was true of art.
Well, tell me how you participated in what sport and what art. Tell me about yourself.
Okay. Sports, anyone that was available, I participated in. I swam for swimming teams.
Where?
Went out to at Heron Hill, which was my junior high school. I tried out for almost every team. I was a little guy, and so it was hard for me to play football, though I absolutely wanted to, and didn't mind getting killed. I was always a good ball player, and was a pitcher.
Good baseball player. Where'd you play?
All around the Hill District. Mm-hmm. Anywhere I could. We had teams.
Sandlot
kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But later I became interested in strength training, mm-hmm. which I did as a 16-year-old mm-hmm. to begin with, partly to gain weight. Mm-hmm. And that probably has had a lot to do with subsequent changes mm-hmm. in my career. Mm-hmm.
Started strength training as a 16-year-old to build yourself up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was an excellent swimmer. Other sports. I've dabbled in others, you know. I like to hit a tennis ball, and I played golf from the time I was just married. Even before, when I was 18, I started playing golf.
Mm-hmm. You know any prominent Jewish people that you might want to mention? I'm still hanging on to this. Pittsburgh.
No prominent Jewish people ever wanted to know me, I'm sure.
Okay.
Prominent Jewish. See, my mind gets
blank
questions like that.
Well,
very
how
interesting.
About prominent anybody? Do you know any of the civic leaders or any of the medical leaders?
Oh, I knew most of the medical leaders. Dr. Brosen was my hero.
Okay, I'm going to have to. I went out of turn. I jumped. I should be.
Why? No, you didn't.
Well, I'm still exploring your beginnings.
Yeah.
You want to say anything about how you met your wife and how you happened to marry her?
My wife was my cousin Jeannie's best friend, and I got to know Millie through that alliance, mm-hmm. and we began dating before I went into the service. Mm-hmm. So I was 16, and she was 14. When we started together. Mm-hmm. And that's when it continued.
So you were 16?
Mm-hmm.
At
16. Both in Shenley High School. Mm-hmm. And she was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't. But back to that business of arts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I played the piano when my mother and I took lessons at the IKS. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was 9, mm-hmm. and for a quarter a lesson, we learned how to play the piano. We both played Fairlise, you know, it's a Beethoven piece that everybody plays, mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I later got interested in doing a little painting. And
what was it, 25 cents lessons?
25 cents.
I never knew that.
Yeah. More than that, I never would have gotten a shot, I can tell you. So music was, and you know, radio was important in those days, and the music that came from that.
Where were you married, and how?
Married.
With the rabbi?
Oh, sure.
Tell me.
That was very Jewish kind of thing. I don't remember the rabbi's name. I know that was his first wedding, and he was correspondingly nervous about it.
Yeah, what year?
1946. So we're 46 years married. Yeah. We were married in 1946.
Good.
And that was in one of the East End. Not the one on Negley Avenue, but the one that...
No, one that Margarita.
Margarita.
Yes.
That's the one. That's where we got married. And Millie's Gentile friend sang at our wedding. Ginger, who at that time had just finished her first novel. And Millie is a fine, always has been a fine singer and a good dancer. This stuff is starting to get kind of rambling.
I got to get you started into a life, and that's about as far as we've got, really. Is there any specific thing about social life or family vacations that are commendable?
We almost never went on vacations when I was a child. We simply couldn't afford it. When we got married, we did not have children right away because of the problem of medical school. And Millie worked to support those tuitions for several years.